There's a hunger in my heart, a hunger in my soul for you. It grows and it grows and it feeds me like a... Okay, so welcome to the West Coast Project podcast for... I always want to say Orange is the New Black every single time I do a podcast now.
I know.
I don't know why that is locked into my brain, but it's for The Affair. And my name is Mike, and I'm here with Michelle. Hi, Michelle.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, we're just arguing over the website. We're moving some stuff around. If you've looked at the website before and tried to download... listen to the podcast directly from the Apple website, it's now going to be on a WordPress website. So anybody with Android or any kind of computer or anything can just listen to it right off the webpage, or you can still go to Stitcher or iTunes.
Yeah, but Stitcher takes a while to get it put up sometimes, and now we can get it as soon as the podcast goes live, and I love that.
Yeah, but I mean the whole thing with podcasts is there's an aggregator that sends you the podcast when it's finished being published. You don't have to go look for it. That's like the idea behind iTunes and Stitcher. So Stitcher will catch up. Stitcher, I don't know why that one time it took like almost 24 hours for one to get posted.
So it does that sometimes.
Michelle, here we are. We're stuck in the middle. We've got like episode 6 and 7. We did episode 7 after we did our interview with Jane, with Nicolette Robinson, and then we posted the interview after 7. So it's going to seem to a listener like, okay, we had 7, and then we have this interview. Now here we are doing something else other than an episode. But we're doing all this because it's the Thanksgiving week break that they took. There's no live episode this week.
Right. And we got people that are really looking for some content on the show and stuff. I mean, people are missing it.
Well, tonight we're just going to talk about some of the characters and some of the content, and at the end we can do a couple spoilers. But Showtime put out a podcast, and before the series started, they put out like a couple 2 and 3 minute long podcasts, one for each character. We're going to play those and talk about them. And then some of the other stuff in the production we can talk about. And then at the end, I thought we'd do a couple spoilers. I found some of the scene descriptions for 8, 9, and 10. You know, they're really lame and generic, but we can see what happened.
Yeah, we can speculate.
But we were talking about a little bit. We didn't get much out of Jane when we interviewed her. She's a really nice girl, and she has a great singing voice, and she's very lovely to speak to, but we didn't get any dope from her on the show. I don't know if you have any predictions that you're ready to put forth in this podcast, but let's take a listen to some of these characters from the Showtime podcast. So if you're ready for that, here, let's listen to Noah.
Okay.
I really like you.
You're married.
Right.
And you have a family.
I do.
And you don't want to do anything to jeopardize that.
You just made that pretty easy for me. Noah is a public school teacher and a writer from Brooklyn, a happily married guy with 4 kids, and he goes out to Montauk, and he starts an affair with a girl he meets out there, and he ruins his life for her. Allison, right?
Yeah, that's right.
I wanted to find an actor that you could believe him as a father for, and you could also believe him as somebody who's kind of bubbling under the surface with something that wanted to come out, something sort of primal. Dominic West is the only choice on my list.
That woman speaking about finding an actor is Sarah Treem, the writer.
Mm-hmm. Excuse me, sir. You order the whiskey?
Thank you.
Was she flirting?
Ellen's Noah's wife, and she is so good and so high-achieving, that's probably what he wants to get away from. Get a bit of anarchy in his life.
Allison, this is incredible. I love outdoor showers.
You want to try it? There's something about Noah who's professional. He's a family man. He seems confident in who he is.
On the show, we have 4 children. Real life, Dominic has 5. I think he's natural to play that caretaker part of it. And he's super hot. He's got that other part covered, too.
The biggest challenge playing Noah is trying to make him convincing Brooklyn dude, which I have limited experience on. So he hasn't got a Brooklyn accent. I'm not too good on the accent. The Affair, is that it? Is that like a Long Island accent? I think he is a good guy, and I think good guys do do stupid things, and that's also what's interesting about playing him.
You don't want this.
Allison, I'm a grown man. I know what I want. Do you fear?
So that was Maura Tierney calling him a hot guy. Maura,
yeah.
his wife.
You guys on vacation?
Certainly are.
Well?
Sorry, Maura's his wife, obviously, in the show. So, Michelle, do you like Noah?
Yeah, I think I like him. I'm going to have to see who he turns out to be. We talked about it, you know, a little bit as in the various episodes, but there's parts of him, particularly in the way that Allison sees Noah, that I really, really like. I thought that was kind of interesting. A couple of things that was just said on there, the good guys do stupid things. You know, and I mean, I think that's true. I think we can all do stupid things, and it can just be something as simple as that. And then something else in there when he says, Allison, I'm a grown man. I know what I want. Of course, then he changes his mind right back almost, you know, within like a couple of weeks. But yeah, I think there's stuff to like about Noah, depending on what's true. Do you like him?
No, I don't like him at all. He's a creep. he's screwing over his wife, right? He's a pretty good dad, I guess. He's good with the kids, but he's doing stuff, except for the time he wouldn't let the little kid jog with him because he was going to go have sex in the morning.
Yeah, that was bad.
But he's a creep. He's screwing over his wife. He's screwing over Allison. And he's left them both, and you know, this first six or seven episodes we've seen, he's left them both behind and gone back to one or the other of them. I don't know. I don't see much in him that I like.
Well, they were kind of saying he fell in love with this girl, and he didn't mean to. Wasn't looking for an affair. They showed us that at the beginning when the cute girl comes up to him. I don't know that actress's name, but at the pool, and she kind of makes a move on him, not realizing he was married. But he could have tried to take that somewhere, but he didn't. It's not like he wanted anything, and I think they talk about that in some of these interviews, but he just had this pull and this attraction toward her. And, you know, I mean, not that that makes anything necessarily okay, but I don't think it makes him, I think it makes it better than if he were just the kind of person who was just looking for something like that. Sometimes, well, stuff finds you.
Huh?
Sometimes stuff can find you.
Oh, I thought you meant me.
Not you, a person, even if they're not looking.
Yeah, he wasn't on the prowl for anything, but he did go there. He did go there without...
Yeah, but depending on whose story's right, I mean, did he go there as reluctantly as he's saying he did?
No, he went... Allison slapped a marble out of his daughter, and he fell in love with her. I mean, what? he fell in love with a waitress at lunch at a restaurant.
Well, in his story, Allison didn't do anything with the daughter. He did, but... You know.
So that's even worse.
Yeah, I don't know.
All right, so again, any predictions for what's going to happen with Noah? There's three episodes left, and he's back. Well, let's reset where he is. He's pushed Allison away, and he's back in Brooklyn with his family, and he's seen Allison looking at him through the window, but he's pretty much free of her now. Summer's over, and he's just back at home with the family. What do you think's going to happen to Noah?
Well, there's something going to happen. There's something bad going to happen, because if we're to believe that interview that we just heard, he ruined his life over her, is what they said. So what does that mean? You know, his life isn't ruined. At the end of episode 7, he's obviously got some things he's going to have to overcome. But I don't know if that was like a little spoiler for us.
Well, it could be a little grandstanding with Helen, too. Like, I've ruined my life. Give me another chance. I don't know. When he ruined his life, who was listening to him say that?
That was just... I thought it was just part of the interview process where he's talking about the character.
Yeah.
Where he's saying that Noah ruined his life. You know, I mean, I don't think he was saying it in the series necessarily. I think he was just saying it. And,
well, there's pretty big star power in this first season. You know, all four of the affected people are pretty big stars. So what do you think they're all going to carry into season two?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I know that that Noah Soloway, Dominic West, McNulty has done, you know, seasons before, many of them. So I wouldn't be real surprised if he came back next time.
Yeah, but the story has to go somewhere. The story can't just be back and forth between Brooklyn and Montauk every season. Time for the affair again. It's, you know, it's beginning of summer.
Right, but it could be, I mean, I don't know. It could be where they go into some kind of a trial in season two. Who knows? Because that detective's poking around, and it could be a whole, we could tie up a whole bunch of loose ends, but still be able to continue this story. I can see a couple different ways that that could happen.
All right, let's listen in on Allison.
Okay.
You guys here on vacation?
So we are.
Well, welcome to the end of the world. Gotcha. My name is Ruth Wilson. I play a character called Allison Bailey. The affair is about a relationship between two people who are already in marriages, who end up falling in love.
You found me.
I don't believe there are good people and bad people. I mean, I think we're all just doing our best to get by.
It was really hard to find an actress who was sexy enough that the guys would be like, I would potentially leave my wife for her. And intelligent and sensitive and vulnerable enough that the women were like, I relate to this character. I am this character.
Sarah Treem again.
Mm-hmm.
You look incredible.
Allison has always wished that she could do more with her life, escape the sort of small community.
They've suffered through a tragedy together and are now kind of going through the motions of their relationship.
Let's try to have a good day today.
There's something about Noah. He's a family man. He seems confident in who he is. But there's an escapism that he represents that she's attracted to.
I like everything about you. I like the way you talk. I like the way you think. I don't care what you're saying. I just want to listen to you.
She's not perfect. In fact, she's deeply damaged. But that appeals to something in him. That's something he wants to protect.
I've been thinking about you all week. You've been thinking about me?
Yes. It was really hard to find an actress who would lead with their intelligence or lead with their sexuality. Ruth, she's so hard to pin down. Everybody kept saying, but how can we cast her? I don't censor her. That's why we need to cast her, because she's that good. Every time you see her, she just dissolves into something.
I can't work you out.
It's a very interesting piece of material, and one of the reasons why I took it.
There's a huge moral stigma against affairs, so what was quite interesting about this project was challenging that stigma.
The Affair.
So that's Allison.
Yeah, Allison's our baby. She's the youngest one in this at 32 of the four main characters.
But she's not that old in the show, right? She's supposed to be like in her 20s.
I don't know if they've let us know that. I mean, I don't know. I didn't picture her too young because she had the 4-year-old son who had died a couple of years ago, so I didn't picture her too young, but I do think she plays a very interesting character. Of course, now I know why I like her so much, because she's a Capricorn, so...
Oh, Jesus.
You know? So it's no wonder that I like her so much. No, but seriously, she does play a pretty complex role. She's either, you know, this damaged, broken person, or she's this wife at the end of a rope. Or maybe both.
What do you think is going to happen to Allison?
Well,
she's got Team Allison out there on Montauk. She's got seemingly more support than Noah. Like more ways to bail out and still stay on Montauk.
How could she do that? I didn't see she had anybody.
Well, she's got all that whole family of people. She's got her friend, the sister-in-law. She's got Cherry.
Yeah, but those people come with the family.
She's got her other friend. She's got her mother. I don't know. It seems like Noah has one choice. It's like go back to Brooklyn and carry on with his life. And Allison, she could get scattered to the winds. And she has no ties, right? She's kind of on the outs with Cole. She has no children. She could fly away to Florida or do whatever. Well, right.
She definitely doesn't have as much holding her down.
And it doesn't seem like Noah, like all the evil is on Allison's side, right? She's not going to get bumped off like Noah might get bumped off by that drug family. She's part of the drug family.
Yeah, kind of, I guess she is. But I think she's kind of the outsider part of it. I mean,
she's less likely to get hurt by somebody in that family than Noah is.
I didn't even think about Noah getting hurt. It's not crossed my mind until you just said it. So you think that it could be like a physically dangerous situation for Noah to be in?
The affair is all out in the open, so that's not the mystery anymore. It has to be dangerous mystery. It can't just be, you know, we catch you, we're going to give you these speeding tickets.
Well, no, but Noah's okay because we see him talk to, at least at some point, because we see him talk to the detective. Maybe.
Right.
Or maybe it's at two different times.
There's an ominous drug presence out there that beat up Lockhart
brothers,
people,
yeah.
Or killed one of them without, you know, we don't even know who they are. And, you know, that's in play now, too.
Yeah, but I don't picture Noah really being involved in that part of it. And Cole has pretty much made it known. I mean, Cole's brother, Scotty, punched Oscar. But I think that we pretty much know that Cole is not, like, a violent type person. I mean, that's certainly the...
He beat up Oscar when he got... When he revealed that he was,
anybody would do that.
That's violent, though. All right, so let's see who we got next here. Cole, now that speak of the devil, here he comes.
I love to see a smile.
The affair is centered on a man and a woman who step outside of their relationship.
I can't stop thinking about you.
That's sweet.
It's not sweet, it's a problem.
Okay.
Cole is part of this large ranching family and has very deep roots into Montauk. He's Allison's husband. They were young lovers and they've suffered through a tremendous tragedy together.
Please stop.
I don't know how.
With Cole, they've got history. They grew up in Montauk. But they are both grieving in different ways, and that's creating huge barriers between them.
Just help me. Allison represents to Cole the thing he could not tame. That's sort of the central dysfunction of their relationship.
Cole!
What?
Don't do that.
Why?
Because you're scaring me, that's why.
I'm scaring you!
There's the affair, which is the love story element of the piece, but there's also a crime element. And through that, you discover dark undershade.
How was the pickup this morning?
It's fine.
No incidents?
No.
We were looking for somebody who could actually hold his weight against the other three characters. Cole is the fourth corner of the square. Then emailing his agents, like, can Josh ride a horse? Josh is actually a great horseback rider.
Hey, folks.
Cole, played by Josh Jackson, is a dreamboat, and why anyone would leave him for an older guy, I don't know.
Oh, I am Noah.
Cole.
I just hope Josh isn't bringing his innate charm too much to the role.
Because we're not dictating to you who's right or who's wrong, you ultimately have to choose who it is that you feel most sympathetic towards. It's a lean-forward show, not a sit-back show.
The Affair.
Still drives me crazy when I hear that British McNulty.
Isn't that a great way to describe the show? it's a lean forward show and not a sit back show, because it really is.
It's kind of like Fargo or True Detective. You got to participate in it to really enjoy it. You don't just watch it.
No, you don't, but it sucks you in anyway. If you're paying even three quarters attention to the TV, I know we all multitask everything we do now, but it really sucks you in, and you really, I know I find myself choosing sides. The problem with this show is I can't get on a soapbox and stand up on it very long on my side, because the story and the nuances of everything change. And I guess hearing other people's side to it makes it so easy to, you know, want to flip-flop on my opinion. But I thought it was neat that he was described as the fourth corner of the square, and that they just needed somebody to balance out these other actors. And I thought that was kind of neat, because he is a great actor. He's another one that's played in series. Of course, he was in Fringe. And so he's done year to year. So it wouldn't surprise me if, you know, if he came back either. We know Helen also. We'll get to her, but she's done the same thing. So,
well, I think Cole is one of the characters that's still under wraps a little bit. Like, we know a lot about Helen, and we know a lot about Allison, and we know a lot about Noah. Cole, like Sarah Treem kind of said, we wanted an actor with a dark undercurrent, with the kind of the nice guy outer appearance.
Mm-hmm.
So there's something that they're going to have to show that about Cole that looks like, wow, it's kind of shocking that we wouldn't expect from him. That's why I think that family's kind of dangerous, and the, you know, Noah's not just free from that danger either. So I think that's the surprise coming up. It's the nice, level-headed, seemingly normal guy in Cole is going to probably change.
Do you think? I'm not picturing that. That's not what I picture.
The danger's got to be somewhere, and it's, you know, and he's the leader of that family, so it's not, yeah, Scotty. Scotty's kind of a knucklehead. I'm back on saying that. He's a bit player. He's not the mastermind of anything. He's going to be like things are going to reflect off of him. He's not going to create and drive the plot forward.
But we know that Scotty was the one actually killed, right?
Oh, I'm thinking of the other guy. Who's the Oscar? Did I say Scotty?
Yeah, you said Scotty.
I meant Oscar. Oscar's not the driving force in the moving of the plot forward. He's kind of a side
player. No, absolutely. He's a great, great side player. But yeah, I completely agree with that. I don't see Cole as a sinister character, though. But I do his mother, and I don't know why. I get a real sinister feeling from Cherry.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I can't really give you anything concrete to back that. I just did. She's done a couple things where, I don't know, she's so kind in so many situations with Allison, but it's like the kindness you have to pay for.
Well, she was the fourth prettiest girl in St. Elmo's Fire that can make somebody very bitter after 35 or 40 years.
Well,
so so Cole, there's more. If anything's going to change, it's going to change mostly with Cole, I think. So I think be ready for some surprises from Cole.
Okay.
All right, let's listen to Helen.
Okay.
My friend.
Of course, Helen could turn into a murderous bitch, too.
She's sort of a very super together woman. She has four children, and she runs a very successful store that showcases eco-friendly pieces. Better than this one?
What's the difference?
Helen is fascinating because she's been super lucky in her life.
Helen is amazing. She's wonderful. They have a good relationship. They have a good sex life. And she is sort of so good and so high achieving. And I think that's probably what he wants to get away from.
Want some company? It's a little annoying how perfect she is. But I mean, I think there are some people like that. Like I said, that just get lucky, you know, and the concept of life not being fair hasn't hit them yet. I think on some levels she thinks she's being compassionate and really understanding, but she's not really understanding what he needs to make himself creatively more vital.
I'm bored.
I'll try not to take that personally.
Casting Moira was fun because the idea from the beginning was that this woman was a great wife, was a good mother, was not a shrew. We were saying, like, well, who's the actress that you could never leave? And it was like, Moira Tierney. Moira Tierney is perfect.
She's too good.
Delicious. What is it?
Turkey, local cheddar, and some of that jam you got at the farmer's market. Helen expects things to go her way, because they have gone her way for 44 years. So what's going to happen to that person when you start realizing you can't control your life?
You order the whiskey?
Thank you.
Was she flirting?
Sarah Treem, by the way, was born in 1980, Michelle.
Oh, wow.
She's freaking 34 years old. She's the creator of this thing. She was in the show In Treatment as well. But what do you think about Helen? What's brewing inside of her?
Well, first of all, Helen is, out of these four, she's actually the oldest one there. She's 49 years old, and I just am so in awe of her. And I knew that I knew her from somewhere, like really knew her and knew her character and stuff. First of all, she reminds me of a really good friend of mine so much. But so I kept putting it off on that. But she played in ER back years ago. And, of course, I watched ER back when I was in nursing school, right around that time. So I just loved it, and I loved watching the show back then. And so that's where I knew her from. But she's an Aquarius, and I love Aquarius. I have an Aquarius daughter, so that's a really neat thing, too. I think Helen's pretty transparent. I think Helen kind of wears her heart on her sleeve. And because it's just like she just said, even when she feels like she's being compassionate, we can sense a little uppityness about her. I think she's just a transparent person. She is who she is. You get what you get. And I don't view anything malicious or underhanded in Helen. I'm going to be really surprised if I see anything different. What do you think?
Yeah, she's a little bit bottled up in that she is kind of the privileged person who tries to be nice most of the time, and for the most part she is pretty nice, but we've seen her privilege leak out at certain points too.
Well, right, and that statement that she's just a lucky person because she hadn't yet been put in a position to understand that life isn't always fair or something to that, I'm not quoting, but wow, that was like a profound thing to hear that, because there is people, I guess, still that don't know, even at 44, which is how old her character is, that life isn't always just fair, and things you can't control everything that's going to end up coming back to you.
There's an old saying that somebody came up with, I don't know who, but it's there are people who are standing on third base, who are born on third base, who think they've hit a triple.
That's a good one.
And
I like
she's
that.
Like that, exactly. She's privileged, and she's, you know, thinks everything's great. You know, I'm this far ahead of everything in life. I've got it kind of figured out. But she was born that, you know, she was kind of given that. And as soon as her boat is rocked a little bit, she kind of comes unglued a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, one of my daughters was just telling me a story about how, and I forget where she read it, but she walked into class, or everybody goes into class, and there's a waste paper basket in the front of the class, and everybody has to crumple a piece of paper and throw it in the waste paper basket. And if they get it in the waste paper basket, they automatically get a good grade or something like that, like for the whole thing. And so the only people who feel like it's unfair are the people way in the back of the room, because they didn't know that. So it was just like, depending on wherever you happen to be at that point was your privilege, so to speak, in life. And it was a pretty interesting concept. I guess it's a little different, but
yeah, I mean, you got to deal with what happens to you in life. Some people I mean, some people are born millionaires and get sick really young, and some people have no resources in life and make the most out of everything.
Right.
It's what you kind of do with what you're handed, how you play the hand that you have.
But don't you think she seems pretty... I mean, I like her. I like Helen. I like the character. I want to be friends with Helen. I want to hang out with Helen and have coffee. Like I was saying, I have a friend that's just like that. Upbeat, but will tell you. I mean, they're honest. It's just a what you see is what you get kind of person.
Yeah, but we haven't seen that much go wrong for her. Maybe that's something that would be interesting for us to see in the next 3 episodes and maybe the next 10 in season 2 is something going wrong with her where she has to deal with something. You know. She hasn't had too many major problems to deal with yet. So maybe
that's
that would
a good
be interesting.
Point. That's a good point. I could definitely end up eating those words.
So let's talk a little bit about some spoilers. There, the description of the Airfair episode 8 is a chance encounter with Allison leads to an uncomfortable truth, which I guess you could put that description into almost any of the episodes. But it looks like it shows Allison in the restaurant or in some dining area. It looks like a restaurant with a carrying cart of flowers, like she's bringing flowers into a dining room of some kind. But that's all they have, is just that one line, and a chance encounter leads to an uncomfortable truth. It doesn't say who is encountering Allison, but it just says Allison has an uncomfortable encounter. Anything could happen with her. I mean, she's back on Montauk probably, and we know Noah's going to head back out there because we've seen him back out with Bruce. And I'm guessing they're out at Bruce's house on Montauk. And you know Noah has to go back out there for some reason or another to stir something up.
I guess, but I mean, he's the one who ran home. I mean, he's the one who wanted to leave early and get out of there. So why would he go back he has to go back? I mean, they're even talking about not going back next summer because, of course, before Helen knew about Allison, but she said, I'm sorry I put you through that. We'll go glamping next year in place of going back. I mean, he seemed like he was in such a hurry to get out of there, and particularly with everything with Oscar and now that Cole knows. Of course, Noah doesn't know that Cole knows, but why would he want to go back?
Yeah, let me see if I can play this. This looks like the one where he's giving Helen the present. This episode 8. Maybe we can get something out of that.
Okay.
Got a switcher on my equipment.
Helen, nothing is going to happen. I won't see her. Pure love cannot sustain in an imperfect world.
What's that for?
Sticking it out? Helen, nothing is going to happen. I won't see her.
Why should I believe you?
Was that her?
That's with Bruce.
We will not dwell on tragedy.
Do you know why I married you? I thought you were safe.
I have everything I want. This pain feels familiar.
So I'm assuming these are all in episode 8 because they're under that description, episode 8.
Right.
That was the quick little him giving the present to Helen, and she kind of rejects it.
Right.
And then there's
the Tiffany box.
Yeah, the sky blue box. And then there's this scene, it looks like a funeral, where the detective walks in and Allison's in the middle of the rows of the funeral and the detective walks in.
Mm-hmm.
So that must all be in episode 8. Who do you think the funeral's for? We talked about this a little bit before, I guess.
Well, okay, I'm getting a lot of feedback, and I don't know. Okay, it's gone. It can't be Scotty, can it? Who knows? Who knows, Mike? I guess it could be, because this could all be happening except at different times, the interviews and everything. I don't know who the funeral's for.
Okay.
I don't even know who the wedding. Who was the wedding for? Did we ever find out?
What wedding?
Remember the wedding? They're talking about being at the wedding.
In that little clip we displayed?
No. At the end of season 7, when they're leaving, they're talking about when Noah and Allison are both leaving the detective, respectively, they're talking about the wedding. And did they go to the end? Because evidently that's where the wedding was or something. I don't even know who the wedding was for. Do you?
Yeah, at the end of episode 7, not season 7.
Oh, sorry, yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember that. It seems like so long ago now.
I know.
All right, let's see if there's anything in episode 9 here. The little preview message says, Noah and Helen face a revelation. Allison spirals towards a reckoning. And it looks like Noah and Helen sitting in a bedroom on a bed talking. Not comfy talking, like she's sitting there and he's kind of leaning in a weird way.
Okay.
Well, let's see if there's anything. No, there's no video for that. So they're careful about what they reveal.
Is Allison going to be pregnant with Noah's baby? Is that what we're going to end up getting from this?
That was part of what people were saying on Reddit.
Yeah, I mean, because that would be something that you'd have to face and something that he'd have to go back out there. And, of course, when he's telling Helen, it's okay, I'm not going to see her, we know he's going to see her, right?
Yeah, you know he has to see her again sometime before the end.
Yeah, I think he's going to see her in that episode. If he's telling Helen, you know I'm not going to see her, whether he does it deliberately or not, and depending on whose story you believe, I think he's going to see her. I don't buy that for a second.
So there's no video for number 9, but there's a few pictures. And one of the pictures is Cole kind of wistfully looking out the door of their house, like maybe like looking out the door of somebody leaving. It doesn't show who or what, but it's like breakfast time. He's got an orange juice and some bacon and eggs on the table, but he's looking out the door like somebody's going. Another picture is, it looks like Max and Noah standing on a nice looking outside patio, like in a high rise somewhere, probably in Brooklyn or New York.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
Maybe Max's office or something. They're looking out at something. Then it shows Noah in that same location, Noah by himself. And then, again, it's probably the same location. It shows Noah inside from that similar-looking location, inside the room, like inside the window.
What if Whitney was right, and Noah, I mean, and Helen and Max are having an affair?
Maybe. It seems kind of comical, though, almost, if that's the case.
Why?
I don't know, because Max is he's like a foil, you know, he's like a town joker.
Well, I mean, I guess, but they also showed him as being like this very successful, driven person, too. I mean, we saw the Playboy Max, but we also saw the whatever, maybe Wall Street Max, whatever business he was in, and I don't know. I don't know. It just dawned on me with the visuals you're giving me. That just came to me.
We saw the weak Max where he broke down into tears talking about his family, and he gave Helen a pretty healthy kiss when he kind of
drunkenly
met them for lunch.
He sure did, and then Whitney seemed to take it as a given, and we don't know what Whitney's seen that we haven't seen, and that would be, I don't know, maybe.
So the next picture, it looks like the same, Cole's in the same time of day, he looks like he's in his breakfast, like his sweats and his sweatshirt, and Allison is with him, and looks like they're coming together, so maybe he was watching Allison come in the door and not go out the door. Or maybe she was going out the door and he got her to come back somehow. But they have that look like they're about to hug each other, start screwing or something. They're all clothed. Like, she's dressed to go out. She has her winter jacket, and she has her purse and all that. And Cole's, like I said, just standing up from breakfast, it looks like.
Okay, so if she's in winter stuff, then we're imagining that a couple of months has went by. Because even, or at least a month from the end of summer.
Yeah, well, that's what it is, right?
So, I don't know, that takes me back to the maybe she's pregnant. But remember, he told her to throw away the pills. And see, the fact that Noah brought that up too, after the fact, and said, are you protected? Way after the fact.
There was a Reddit thread on rings too, and it looks like they're both wearing rings, wedding rings. I don't know if it's the ring that Cherry gave Allison, but it looks like she's wearing a wedding ring, and you can also see Cole's wedding ring.
Allison wore a wedding ring in the very first scene we saw her, because I remember her touching Cole's, or gently not touching, running her hand over the, what we found out was the angel Gabriel that he has tattooed on his side, and her wedding ring was really prominent in that. So yeah. She had it on then. I don't know if there's times that she maybe doesn't wear it. I haven't paid that much attention to it. There was also something on Reddit about a glitch. Did you read that?
I went and looked for that, and I couldn't find it. I think that's just a bad clue.
You think it's a bad clue?
I think it's somebody had a bad connection on their TV.
No, because other people went into it and said that they saw it too. And they said they're actually going to have to go back to the first episode and rewatch it, because people are now, at least one other person has found glitches.
Well, I watched it for the 2 points that person said that they saw them.
And there was no glitch.
There was nothing. So they couldn't do it for some people and not all people, you know.
Oh, you're right. You're right.
But the next picture is Allison walking forlornly on the beach by herself. She's wearing a sweatshirt and jeans, and she's just kind of looking sad, looking down. It's the daytime. She's walking down the beach. The next one, she's with a kid and another lady. Again, dressed in winter, nice winter clothes. I don't recognize the kid. It's a little blonde-haired kid. It's not one of Noah's kids, and it's not Helen. It's a blonde-haired lady. We never saw her friend in that house she's staying in ever, did we?
No, that's a good point.
So I don't know. It might be her.
Yeah.
Then we see Allison looking forlorn again, looking out the window, and her hair's kind of, looks like she just got out of the shower, but she's wearing the same sweatshirt. She might be in the car. Maybe she's looking out the car window. She doesn't look very good. She looks kind of unkempt, and she's, distressed looking.
So we know it's her story and not Noah's, because she always looks like a Playboy bunny, so made up and beautiful in Noah's story.
Maybe Noah'll start to see her that way. Next, we see Max. This might be Max's apartment, because Max is in his jeans and his sweater, and he's holding his hands out like, "Come on, Noah, well, I wouldn't be cheating with Helen."
Yeah, like, see, we're seeing a lot of Max in this, aren't we?
This is, I think, episode 9.
Yeah,
He's looking at Noah with the, like, come on, man, you got to be kidding me that you're blaming me with. And Noah's got the angry look on his face with his sleeves rolled up. And
see, there you go.
And they're in a kind of a standoff mode. And it looks like what might be Max's apartment in the city inside. Well,
that's going to be my official guess.
So there's 4 shots of Max and Noah so far. And the 5th shot is Noah standing over Max with a shotgun.
No, it is not.
The 5th shot is Oscar and Allison. Oscar and Allison talking, and Oscar can't tell much of his expression, but Allison looks really stressed out, like angry, and she's wearing a scarf and a winter jacket.
Right, like any conversation she's had with Oscar since the very beginning, if she looks stressed out and angry.
It's hard to tell if it's the restaurant or somebody's house. Kind of looks more like a house. And Allison's, again, she's clutching her purse with her exact same winter clothing on, and her wedding ring is boldly apparent through her clutching her purse. There's one more. Let's see what this is. It's Noah and Helen cooking, looking like they're looking up at something, and they don't look happy or sad. They just look like they're in the kitchen cooking. Like, it's kind of mysterious what they're looking at. Looks like a normal kitchen scene.
Okay. Where are you seeing these photos?
On the Showtime website.
Oh, okay.
And so that's it for episode 9. Let's see if there's anything. I think episode 10 just had the blank 3D episode 10 preview here. Oh, man, it's going to make me go through all the... Hold on, I'll outsmart it. Okay, The Affair episode 10. There is no picture, just the Showtime logo. And the description is, Detective Jeffries makes significant progress on his case. Season finale.
Okay, so if he's still making progress on his case, isn't that telling us something?
Yeah, he's made some progress in the case.
No, I think it's telling us that it's going to be continued for the next episode, a continuation. Because he can't just make progress on the case on season 10 and then wrap it up.
Well, could be. Why couldn't it be?
I just don't think so.
So you think there's going to be a cliffhanger in season 2 is going to be based on more of this craziness going forward?
I think we're going to find out enough. I'm very hopeful that we're going to find out enough that we're going to be satisfied. But I think what continues will maybe lead us in maybe another direction, or I don't know.
It better get more dangerous, way more dangerous, or a completely new direction, because they can't just keep another season of this going.
No. But I don't think they've done that. I don't think they've drawn this out like that.
No, 10 would be just right. They have to do something, though. They can't leave a cliffhanger where it's going to just keep continuing.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. But I think they're giving us tons of information and tons of stuff to digest in every single episode. And I'm very hopeful that 10 is going to wrap up enough. And then starting with season 2, I'm very hopeful that it's going to take us in a new direction, but it's still going to be enough that we're invested.
All right, we'll see. Next week we'll have another episode, episode 8, and be a regular old live episode, so that'll be good again. And I apologize for all the audio glitchiness here. We're trying to do some weird stuff with playing podcasts and switching around between speakers, and our website has some new changes, so just hang in there for a little while. It'll be better. But you should be able to access the feed a little bit more easily now from devices non-Apple, which will be good
for people. Yes. Yes, it will. I love it, as I've said.
All right, Michelle, who did you schedule for our next interview?
I haven't scheduled anybody. Was I supposed to?
I don't know. I'm just teasing you.
Okay. I never know. I never know what I'm going to be in trouble for.
Who you could probably get is the guy that... that was live tweeting with Nicolette. Was that Scotty? Was one of the other brothers, Scotty, or one of the other brothers?
Oh, yeah, she did bring that up. Yeah. I don't know. That would be neat, though, wouldn't it, to get that?
Yeah, we'll see what we can do.
Okay. I'm actually really excited about that. I think that's going to be great. And for people like me who are Android users, I can't tell you how good that is that I'll be able to hear everything as soon as you put it up in place of having to wait, because it's frustrating. I know it's frustrating even on Bald Move site and stuff like that when because it doesn't go through to Stitcher, so you have to actually go to their website. But now you can do that and get it from Bald Move, and I love being able to do that, so I'm glad our website's going to be doing that.
Yeah, there's also a way to put it into TuneIn Radio, like it's kind of like iHeartRadio. There's one called TuneIn Radio.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to try to find a way to get that going, too.
Okay.
All right, Michelle from Tennessee, I'll talk to you next week.
Okay, talk to you then.